welcome to the Christina Cook Show. This is Christina Cook, and I want to start this tonight by making sure that it is very, very clear that this podcast is directed as much at me as it is at anybody else, okay? Tonight, I want to talk about civility in our discourse, civility in our debates. This whole Syrian refugee debate has really brought out the absolute worst in people, and it's created some very stark examples, at least in my intercourse with other people talking about this issue, has created some very stark examples of how civility in our debates, civility in our society, has completely eroded at this point. There seems to be zero attempt to try and determine where the other person is coming from, what are the legitimate concerns that the other person is trying to address, and there is very, very little good coming out of these debates. There's just a lot of hatred and enmity and people who are of the opinion that everybody else in the world is either stupid or heartless, depending on which side of this debate that you're on. And to me, this is a really bad thing. I think, you know, it kind of drives me nuts to think of how far we have declined as a society. And I don't know if it's, you know, our 140 character climate that says you have to get that zinger in there, you know, in a very short space of time, and there is no room, there is no time to be civil, there is no room or time to try and listen to the other person, not just hear them, but listen to the other person, listen to what is going on in their head and in their heart, and try to address that. And once I started thinking about this, and I started looking at this sort of in a larger context, I realized that this applies all over the map. This is just the latest example. And what's curious about this, the debate regarding the Syrian refugees, is that there are a lot of liberty people who believe that we should let them in. And then there are a lot of liberty people who think that we should keep them out. And so we've got folks that you know well, people that you've attended classes with and conferences with, and people you've worked on campaigns together, and, you know, folks that you know well, and yet are continuing to engage in this way. Like, you've never met this person before, and this is how you're going to treat them. And again, this is directed as much at me, at myself, and the way that I feel like I've been acting over the past, you know, week and a half or so, and what I'm seeing from other folks as well. I have never in my life been told so many times that I am not a Christian, because I don't believe that it is our government's role to provide succor to the enemy, okay? So that somehow has labeled me as a non-Christian, that I don't understand Christian ethics, and I should force our government to act according to my Christian ethics. That is where this debate is coming out to. And you know what? That really kind of bothers me. It bothers me that is where the debate goes, instead of, I understand your concern about our safety. I do not think that it's that high. We have different calculi for this. You know, the safety of our country versus the need to be compassionate to people who are in a war-torn country. And I have looked at those same folks. I've shot right back across the aisle. I have. And said, you know, you're not remembering. You're too stupid to remember. I don't think I've actually said that, but that's certainly the thought that's gone through my head. You're too stupid to remember 9/11. You're a sucker. And you're being sucked in by this narrative that's being put forward, and then it starts to expand from there. It's this narrative that's being put forward by the left, and, you know, everybody wants to destroy this country, and blah, 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 and it just degrades from there. And that's not a high place to start from. So I wanted to address this concept of bringing back some civility to our discourse. One of the things that I see happening, well, I mean, with this whole debate and with this whole decline in our ability to actually engage in constructive dialogue with folks who oppose us, they are not our enemies, they are the opposition. It's something that's really, really important to remember. And it's something that I forget. It is something that I forget. But they are our opponents. Or they have different views. They are not trying to abuse us with their different views. I saw this great video today on education and the liberal state of political correctness in education. And one of the lines in there, the one that caught me the most, was, "Stop abusing me with your different opinion." It was awesome. We kind of feel that way now, though. If somebody disagrees with us, then they are automatically on the other side. They are automatically the enemy. They are automatically somebody that we cannot relate to. We cannot have a constructive dialogue with. And if we go into that conversation in that way, then that's exactly what's going to happen. So, you know, taking it back to the Syrian refugee thing, I mean, we are looking at folks as victims. We're looking at folks, you know, with this political correctness, the multiculturalism that has been ingrained into our society at this point in time. And you're also dealing with people who have, you know, these wrapped up emotions in all of this. These, you know, the microaggressions, the victimhood culture, the fragile egos. We have leaders who are not modeling any sort of civil behavior. And you combine all of those things together into one big soup, and you end up with conversations that are full of threats and condemnations and pigeonholing and stereotyping and all of these things which represent barriers to actually finding a good solution, actually even hearing a solution. If someone should come up with one, we get so ingrained back into who we are and what our view is. And this applies not just in this Syrian refugee debate, it applies to, you know, debates about Obama himself, about whether or not he is a good leader, or whether or not, you know, that the progressives and the left can do any good in our country. It has to do with our debates between the Liberty Camp and the RINOs, you know, and the schism that we see in the Republican Party. Talk about, you know, income inequality. You know, one side says you're lazy, one side says you're heartless and greedy. You know, I mean, and you can't get past that. You can't find any sort of middle ground. The campus culture that we're looking at right now with Mizzou and Yale and all these snowflakes. God bless them. You know, they just really want comfort and home, and you know, maybe they've never had that before. You know, maybe we need to like look at what's come up, you know, what has been the circumstances of their education prior to that that makes them feel so insecure. We talk about minimum wage, same thing. You know, you have this, you're greedy on one side, you're lazy on the other. Minimum wage is not meant to be a living wage, you know, that kind of thing. We talk about energy, the economy, we talk about the environment, we talk about global warming. Even when we get down to some, you know, really deep political topics that are day-to-day inside baseball kind of stuff, like Article 5 or the Colorado GOP, and these debates just get filled up with all this rancor, and we can't seem to get to the point where anybody is conducting themselves with any sort of class, and we're not having productive conversations about how to solve problems. We're having conversations about which one of the parties is more evil. This is not how we're going to save our country. I ran across this great quote from Thomas Jefferson, and I think this kind of fits if we'd sit back and think about it for a second. And well, here's the quote. "A nation, as a society, forms a moral person, and every member of it is personally responsible for his society." It's Thomas Jefferson. And I thought that was a really interesting way to look at our country. And specifically to look at our country now in 2015 and realize that I, as much as anybody else, have been sitting back thinking our country has gone so far downhill, and it's all the fault of, you know, these people and this viewpoint and this change in the society. And it's unlikely that my mentality around some of that is going to change, but I have a job as a member of this society. I have a job to do. if I want civil discourse in these debates, then I need to conduct myself that way. If I want to reintroduce cool-headed, statesmanlike conduct into these discussions, then I need to act like that. I've often sort of dismissed the statement from Gandhi, be the change you want to see in the world, but there is a lot of truth in that. Because if I do it, and if you do it, and if everybody in the Liberty camp, for example, anybody listening to this podcast, even if you don't consider yourself part of the Liberty camp, but if all of us were to start relating to one another and to our opponents with that class and grace and that cool-headedness and that willingness to empathize, and this is a big one, it's somehow become a widespread belief within our culture that empathizing with your opponent's view somehow equates to endorsing it. And I don't believe that's true at all. In fact, I believe it's exactly the opposite. We cannot combat views that are not based in reality unless we understand what those views are. We can't push back against the things that we feel very strongly are leading this country in the wrong direction unless we understand what is the foundation for those things. So, for example, gun control. Let's talk about gun control for a second. Now, you and I both believe that the Second Amendment is crucial to the other nine. The Second Amendment is incredibly important to the safety and continued existence of our country. But people who support gun control are people who are saying it's an unnecessary risk. What are you going to do? Fight the government with your, you know, your 45 or whatever? Are you going to take on the entire government that way? No. And in some degree, they have a point. And so recognizing that point and understanding where they're coming from, and more importantly, understanding why they're coming from that position, because they're scared of nut jobs with guns. Understanding that is a reasonable position. It's a reasonable activity to undertake. Understanding where your opposition is coming from and why they feel that way, that is what we have to address. That safety issue is what we have to put to rest in their mind. But until we understand that they are afraid of widespread gun ownership because of a safety issue, until we understand that, calling them the names that we call them is not going to get us anywhere. And anybody who's wavering between the two ideas, if all they see on the one side is people attacking people who are concerned for their children's safety, for example, and we're not making a good enough case about how the Second Amendment actually keeps our children safe, then we have to be able to address that. This, it all goes back to that empathy, to understanding, to attempting to understand. Stephen Covey's 7 Habits of Highly Effective People. Seek first to understand and then to be understood. We forget to do that. We forget to do that all the time. I know I do. Understanding and empathizing with your opponent's view does not mean you endorse it. It simply means that you've taken the time to understand where they are coming from as a person. What it is that they're bringing to this. I am of the opinion, for the most part, that most of the people who oppose me politically are actually human. Okay? And they do actually have good intentions. I don't agree with their tactics. I don't agree with their strategy to arrive at the things that we all want. Things like justice and fairness, opportunity, life, liberty, the pursuit of happiness, you know, equality, all these things. I think we all want those things. I don't agree with their strategy. But I believe that they actually, honestly, are trying to get to the same place that you and I are. For the most part. Now, there are a certain group of people that I believe employing whatever tactics are necessary, probably justified. My assessment of most elected Democrats, my assessment of most elected rhinos for that matter, those people who have sought public office, who have sought that power out of some narcissistic greed and narcissistic, egotistical thing that they have to feed in order to feel better about themselves, whatever, they're seeking power over me to make themselves feel better. Those people, I believe, pretty much anything that we need to do to take them out of office, however we can defeat them, that's important. Because they represent a larger threat and they are not going to be anybody that we can ever talk to. That narcissist that you're dealing with is somebody who is not going to listen. They're going to hear your words and figure out how they can use you to further their own agenda. We don't have to be wimps in order to be civil. No, 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 no. We really don't. What we have to do is have class and grace. We need to be better than our opponents. We need to show up better than our opponents. We need to bring to the table a new way of dealing with one another. We need to bring to that table a return to manners, courtesy, respect, you know, all the things that we used to have and things that have gone completely out the window. I'm ready for a return to that. I'm sick of having these discussions where somebody insults me, I insult them back. It just kind of devolves from there. Had more than one of those conversations lately. I had one really interesting one today, but I'm pretty sure the guy is not completely sane. So, but you know, there are ways of conducting ourselves in the world that are a lot more productive, and that when you go to bed at night, you feel like you did well. You feel like you did it right. You don't feel bad about the actions that you took, the things that you said. That, my friends, is the way that I want to go to bed thinking about myself every night for the rest of my life. It is a constant goal. And it's a constant struggle. In this society, in this culture, in this environment, it is a struggle to approach things in a thoughtful manner. It's a struggle to approach things and you know, try to hear the other person's point of view, understand what their motivations are, because a lot of times they're so shocked when you try to do that they immediately suspect your motives. They immediately suspect that you've got something else up your sleeve. You're not actually trying to understand. You're trying to figure out how you can get them, you know, or sucker them in or whatever. We're so unused to having these kinds of conversations in a civil way anymore. If we want to see a world where that is part of the culture, then we have to make it part of our culture. We have to engage people that way. We have to do a better job of it than anyone else. It's Thanksgiving week, and my podcast this week, I'm going to tell you what I'm thankful for. One thing I am very grateful for is that I live in a free country where we can have an intellectual debate about how we are going to deal with these refugees, what is the best way to help them, and have this intellectual debate about it while we sit in freedom. It's sort of a first world problem type of thing. And I am grateful, very grateful, that I have the ability to sit here, do this podcast, talk about issues like this, and grateful too that I have the opportunity to try to make a difference. That we can do. That is something to be very grateful for, instead of just struggling for our very own survival. we can do this. We can make this country better, and it's going to happen one person at a time. It's going to happen with each of us making a commitment to maybe approach things a little more thoughtfully, a little less like a bully, each and every day, and to try to find that civil core where we're dealing with people who don't agree with us, but still making friends. I think we can do that, don't you? I think it's important that we do. So until tomorrow, remember, America is great because Americans are great. It goes right back to that Thomas Jefferson quote. We are our society. So go out there and be exceptional. We'll be right back.